When the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq began, the Pentagon made a decision to limit pre-screening for soldiers going into combat. Mental health advisors said it was important to screen to get a baseline for people going into a high-stress environment. But since then, the Pentagon has learned the high cost of prolonged battlefield stress. Since 2001, almost 2 million U.S. service personnel have been deployed in either Afghanistan or Iraq. Thousands of veterans suffer from various levels of PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, and the Pentagon has had to rethink its concerns about screening, predicting, and treating PTSD. Our partner, the BBC, has been investigating some innovative new programs to identify, treat, and prevent PTSD at Walter Reed Military Hospital in D.C. and the base in Fort Hood, Texas. Paul Adams, former BBC defense correspondent, investigated these treatments. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Also with us is Chuck Luther, a former Army sergeant who himself is a sufferer from PTSD. He helps other soldiers down at Fort Hood, Texas, through his soldiers' advocacy group, Disposable Warriors. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Chuck, what have you learned about PTSD in your experience, and what do you think the Pentagon and medical personnel in the Defense Department have learned?
Well, I think they learned that it was quite overwhelming. I think we under-anticipated how hard it was going to hit our soldiers and our troops. And I believe that we've come leaps and bounds on how we handle this, how we identify it, and how we recognize it. And the first hurdle they've had to face is removing the stigma from the past 50-plus years of are you weak or not if you ask for help. So I think they're learning things about it every day as we go.
Well, how big of a problem is PTSD? You can hear the voice there of Chuck Luther, former Army sergeant. He's a PTSD sufferer himself. We can talk about numbers of individuals, thousands of people diagnosed with PTSD. Or you can listen to this voice, Katisha Smittick, an Army medic.
All I saw was death. A U.S. soldier came in, and I had to physically clean him, pick the wood out of his face. So for all these time, I just bottled it up inside. All I did was just drink myself to an oblivion. I don't even know what I see anymore. I see everything, I hear everything, and everything hurts.
Paul Adams, BBC Washington correspondent, you did this investigation for the BBC. You see it in the faces, you hear it in the voices, and it's there in the numbers. How big of a problem is this for the U.S. military?
Well, I think this was one of the things that really made me want to do this, John, because I hadn't realized, for example, that as you mentioned at the beginning of the item, the number of American men and women who have now rotated through Iraq and Afghanistan, and many of them have gone to both, and many of them have gone to both several times, is approaching 2 million. That's an astonishing number of people. I don't think many people really realize that we're up at that kind of level of deployment. And if one takes as a kind of guideline the sorts of PTSD rates that the military experienced in the wake of Vietnam, then the experts say you're looking at anything between 10% and 15% of the deployed force.
Wow.
Who either have already or will at some point experience PTSD, and that gives you an idea of what we're up against.
Yeah, I mean that's six figures, and that's a very, very huge number. What is the Pentagon doing, and what are the new programs that you focused on in your investigation?
Well, I think the answer is that the Pentagon is doing a lot. There are now something in the region of 1,300 individual programs being looked at and conducted at bases across the country, which really, I think, reflects a system grappling, really sort of racing to catch up with this PTSD phenomenon and exploring any means it can. And that goes from the kind of traditional methods, the kind of cognitive behavioral therapy, right through to some really quite innovative programs, such as the ones we saw at Fort Hood that involve alternative medicine, acupuncture, Reiki, yoga, sound therapy, all sorts of things that many soldiers might regard as a little bit new agey. And in fact, the people we spoke to about these programs who'd gone through them came in through the door thinking, you know, what's this? Voodoo medicine was the way one soldier put it. And yet, after just a three-week program, they found themselves able to deal with their own hyperarousal, able to bring themselves under control, and really feeling the benefits of the sorts of work that they were experiencing.
Well, Paul, this soldier may have gone in as a skeptic, but his experience with the dog training program that you focused on in your investigation seems really to have helped. Listen.
Emotionally, it helps me out tremendously. so I don't feel isolated in a room. I can come down, help out the program, and the dogs can feed on it. They'll come right to us and almost give us support at the same time.
Wow. Chuck Luther, a former Army sergeant, suffers from PTSD. He has an advocacy group, Disposable Warriors. Describe for me, Chuck, how you deal with this issue that Katisha talked about there in that clip, that you drink in this horror from the war and you have to have a way to let go. How do you keep it from building up in you every single day? What programs do you use to make an outlet?
I actually, to speak what Paul talked about, is they came at me with medicines at first. I had 17 pills a day that I was on a regimen,
wow,
and I was a zombie. And then Colonel Bill Rabinia there at the Fort Hood Resiliency Campus and a good friend of mine turned me into, there's yoga and there's the breathing techniques. So for me, it's the yoga, it's the breathing techniques, it's the journaling, the writing, things like that, non-traditional methods, because obviously the traditional methods of medicine weren't working. They were just diluting me down and making me a zombie. And just what that medic said, you get to a point where you just want to be numb because the pain's too horrific, and you don't want to deal with it anymore. And in what I deal with on a daily basis, with over 100 active cases at any given time, I hear a lot of stuff, and that's my outlet, my breathing, wow, and my yoga.
Well, Chuck Luther, former Army sergeant, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. He's involved in an advocacy group down there at Fort Hood called Disposable Warriors. Paul Adams, I heard a doctor at Walter Reed once tell me that winning is not an option when you battle PTSD. It's more about living with it. Is that the takeaway from your investigation?
Yes. I mean, they really do think that this is now a treatable condition, that lots and lots of people are going to experience it. They can be reset. The symptoms can be dealt with. They can be taught to manage their own conditions, and that they can remain productive members of the military. And I think that's one of the things that I also thought was rather remarkable, that you're not just disposed of now. They can find a place for you once you've recovered.
An amazing investigation. You go to the BBC website or thetakeaway.org to find out more. Paul Adams, BBC Washington correspondent, investigating PTSD in the U.S. military and how they're dealing with it. Coming up, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day.